This is Scott.
This is Pat. We got a great program. There's a gentleman on hold right now that's claiming, he wants to get on the air. He's claiming he won over $400 million in a lottery. Calling us, wants to know what to do with it.
I did Google it, so it sounds like it could be legit here.
He's on hold.
But we've got that, and we've also got how do you turn your 401k into monthly income, so we'll talk about that as well. So stick around for more of Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
And now, for the Financial Times ranked top investment advisor, Hanson McLean, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
Right. Glad you're here with us on whatever day you're listening to us. We've got many of us join on our radio programs. We are broadcast throughout a number of stations. And, of course, our podcast, which becomes increasingly
popular, that you can find at HansonMcLean.com.
That's right. Because both myself and my co-host, we're both financial advisor, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We're also principals with the advisory firm Hanson McLean Advisors, which
we work with people like yourself.
Yeah. And by the way, Hanson McLean Advisors more than just Mr. Hanson and Mr. McLean.
There's thankfully
roughly 70 or so folks in the organization. Serve thousands of clients, billions of dollars.
Yep. Easy enough.
Anyway, we do our financial advisors during the week. Come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air, whether you've got some advisors you work with now or you do things all on your own or you're just getting restarted. Or just getting started.
Second opinion, third opinion, first opinion. 888-2-HANSON if you want to get on the air. 888-2-HANSON.
That's right. And numerically, it's 888-242-6766. And we'd love all different types of calls, regardless of what you're dealing with, your financial situation. We would love to take, at least actually, most likely like to take your call, unless it's a bad call. Then we won't take your call.
Most likely, we'll take your call.
And then, I think about it. We have a like a button here, the screen out button.
The cough button. They call them cough buttons, but that's not really. Yeah, you can use them to cough. I normally just turn the microphone off when I need to cough.
But I think there's only one. And there's, over the 20-some-odd years that we've been doing this, only one time do we have like a bad swear word.
But we didn't catch it in time. It got on the air.
Yeah.
We missed that button and it got on the air.
Yeah.
It happens.
I almost said blank happens, but then it would have been a second time. I'm just kidding.
No, actually, you have to do through training. You have a radio show. You got to take a little training video on.
What training video?
Oh, don't you remember the words you can, I can't say? Words you can't say on the air.
They're getting shorter, though, isn't it?
Oh, the
like the George Carlin's seven words you can't say.
Who did? What do you think our average listener is 90? Are you quoting George Carlin here?
In the booth there, do you know George Carlin?
They don't know who George Carlin is.
John, who runs the board, knows who George Carlin.
Jasmine has no idea. No, they don't, because they're young.
And Chris? I can't even see Chris. You know who George Carlin is. Of course, Chris, yeah.
She's older.
She's mature. Older, look at that. That was a bad, Mature, is that the right word? What can we say? Mature.
There we go.
She's mature.
Anyway, but it's a financial talk show. You have questions regarding your money, 888-242-6766.
And all things financial, would love to take your call. So let's start with the phones, and let's go to San Francisco and talk with John. John, you're with Hanson McLean.
Good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Awesome. How you doing, John?
I'm great. I'm kind of want to ask a question about, I came into a large sum of money.
Okay.
And I haven't collected the money yet. I'm 67 years old. I haven't collected the money yet, but I want to be able to maximize the amount of money I keep. How do I do it?
So what do you,
what was the source of the money?
Not very often someone says I'm coming in a large sum, but I don't have it yet.
Was it Iraqi dinar or was it an inheritance or was it real estate or what was it?
It was none of the above. It was a lottery ticket. I won the lottery.
You're kidding.
Oh, okay. And by the way, I was joking when I said Iraqi dinar.
I have the winning ticket, but I haven't collected the money yet because I don't know what I'm. They want to take 50% for taxes.
And how much money was it?
Or is it?
$410 million.
Really?
$410 million on the Powerball, yes.
Well, God bless you.
What an interesting situation you're in.
What an interesting phone call. We've had lottery winners before, but never $410 million.
Yeah, you're gonna have a hard time running out of this money.
I am the largest single ticket payout they've ever had.
And this is a real phone call.
Yes.
I know. I can text
you a picture of the ticket.
That's all I have to. So here's what the first thing you want to do is.
Change your phone number.
Yeah, and don't call shows like this. No, you actually want a tax attorney. The first thing you want to do. Actually,
I don't think that for.
You know, this
do
is.
Do I want a tax attorney and a lawyer, or do I want a tax attorney and a lawyer?
Yeah, you're not going to. Why do you need a tax attorney? It's not that complicated. It's a pretty simple thing right now.
Well,
state income taxes. The federal income tax is the federal income tax. There's not much you can do about that.
And there's no state income tax on it, is there?
That's correct.
Oh, there's not much you can do.
No.
Do you get a choice between the monthly or annual payouts and the lump sum?
Yeah, you get the choice when you get the ticket, and then they ask you again when you win. Yes, and I said I wanted a lump sum payout, so maybe that was wrong.
It all depends on how you do with managing the investments. That your life has changed. I think you need the biggest issue here,
imagine
frankly,
that.
Is not how the dollars are invested.
It's how you actually react to it.
Yes. It's how this is going to change your life and ensuring that it changes your life for the better and not for the worse.
For the positive.
Yes.
That,
correct.
Yeah, that's what I don't want.
And that's why you're like, I got to figure this crap out because,
I mean, that's why I've said I got to figure this out. I mean, not many people know, and I have to figure it out what I want to do, how I want to do it.
And do they, I don't know the answer.
My wife.
John, do they publish your name? Do you have to come public with this?
No.
You don't?
No.
I wouldn't tell a soul.
I don't.
Well, if it were me.
I'm not telling anybody.
If it were me, you can get a charitable deduction up to 50% of your adjusted gross income. Of any cash that's given to a charity. If it were me and won $410 million, I would put half of it in I'd just set up a donor advised fund, and I'd have half of it, and it's kind of like unless you could set up you could probably do a family foundation, and a donor advised fund might actually solve the same thing.
Actually, a donor advised fund is actually.
Because it's private.
It's private.
Yeah. And foundations are paying.
Foundation or
public.
Now you
need an employee and all that crap. That's what I personally would have, because you're not going to spend $400 million in your lifetime. Now it's about shepherding it.
And you're 67 years of age.
Yourself and.
Well, I've talked to a couple of tax attorneys in San Francisco. I've showed them the ticket.
And what did they tell you?
Okay. You know, well, I mean, they haven't really told me much. They're thinking about it.
You're going to pay.
I told them last week.
There's not much you can do with the taxes.
It doesn't actually.
The way to get the taxes down. Essentially, you're in a 39.6% federal income tax
bracket.
But
he'd be in that for the rest of his life anyway.
Yeah,
if you took the payout over 20 years.
It doesn't matter. You're going to be in that. You'll be in the top tax bracket going forward. Whatever you give to charity, for every dollar you give to charity, you're going to save roughly 40 cents in federal taxes. Well, but then you lose some of your itemized deductions.
Well, that's
a lot of your itemized deductions because of this. Because this is a big income in 1 year.
Well, there's no. Yeah, you lose almost everything.
So there's a couple, but there's two areas of, there's a three areas of planning here. The first is tax. How do we mitigate this for the first year? And you're limited on your options.
I'm kind of an, I don't like to pay taxes kind of guy.
Yeah, well,
what I'm trying to do.
You're not like that anymore. Yeah.
Now you just don't like to pay taxes.
Limit the tax bite.
The only way, yeah.
There's not a lot you can do.
There's not much at all you can do. You've got $410 million of income flowing through your tax return this year.
And that's it. The only thing you can do is give money away,
which you frankly would probably give you some purpose with these dollars, and would probably be a prudent thing to do. But really, I think most importantly is how are you going to organize this so that it enhances your life and not
makes things worse. And I mean that seriously because this is a...
My life has already been bad, so I don't want it
to be
worse.
Now you got a big responsibility. How are you going to manage these assets? You're going to need a couple good financial advisors that you really trust.
Who do I get? I've never had this problem, man. I mean, I've been a middle-income guy all my life. Yeah. I've worked all my life. I started working when I was 11 years old. I started working, and I mean,
Have you had much investment experience? Have you lost money in stocks, lost money in real estate?
I don't like stocks. I like real estate. I don't like stocks. I really don't invest in stocks. I mean, I've had, way back when, I think I had a mutual fund. I had a Keystone K2 fund way back when.
So here's one of the challenges is suddenly end up with a bunch of wealth and you invest in something you haven't had experience. The first time it goes down, you're like, what the heck's going on? You make some changes. Our one advice to you here is keep things simple. Just because it's $410 million,
don't go buy yourself a jet. Do not go buy yourself a jet. If you're thinking about buying
it's funny you said that because I looked at a G5 the other day.
Don't do it.
It's not going to make your life.
Don't do it. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you a couple things about vacation homes and jets. You go out, you buy yourself a jet, you're going to be able to do it. The first time you fill that thing up with a fuel to fly somewhere and the bill was $25,000. Or $30,000 round trip, you're going to say to yourself, holy smokes, that's more money than I made, you know, in 2 months. And you're going to get there eventually where it's not a lot of money, but right now it's a ton of money. It's not a lot of money relative, and it won't improve your life significantly.
Wherever you go, you got to take yourself with you, right?
Yeah. Now all you are is and
what
money.
What I don't want to do is...
Is what?
What I don't want to do is go out there and be stupid.
Well, then
buy a jet.
Then don't do, and don't go buy yourself a multi-million-dollar home on Lake Tahoe until you've rented a multi-million-dollar home on Lake Tahoe for a month.
Because then,
all right,
everything you own, it owns you too.
Yeah, you have to take care of it. Actually, I remember talking to a good buddy of mine.
Not only that, no, you not only pay for it, then you have to
pay the upkeep.
Yes, and then you have to interact with people all the time. Even if you have a caretaker, then you got the caretakers. Caretaker's out sick, and then you got the leak of the same week. I mean, I'm just telling you, it all kind of adds up. So, I would actually talk to...
I
would talk to some other lottery winners.
You know what I would do is I'd start with putting all of it in short-term U.S. government securities.
Yeah, and give yourself a 5-year plan short-term to spend US the money.
Security. Yeah, I'd buy...
Don't go out and buy... I would not...
I wouldn't buy anything with a... Because you've got so much stinking money.
Go out. If you want a jet, go buy net jets or just a fractional ownership or just pay for rent one for the week or whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Are you married?
Okay.
John, are you married?
I am. My wife is 34. My wife is 34 years old, yes.
Well, then maybe you should have the G5. You'd be perfect. Just what you'd expect, a 67-year-old and a G5 and a
34-year-old wife.
I'm kidding about that.
No, so I would take the whole thing and I'd probably buy short-term U.S. government securities with not a maturity greater than 5 years until I kind of settled on where it was going.
And I would talk to some other people. I would take my time before I bought any major investments. And I'd really want to, I would talk to some other lottery winners, massive lottery winners, and say, ask kind of their journey. Maybe some other people that have come into this kind of wealth and what their journey is like. Your best wisdom is going to come from those that have been down this path before.
And what was your question for us, John, before we go?
What about tax-free municipal bonds?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
And
another reason Pat said is muni is easier to buy. They're the safest thing you can have, and it's
easier to buy. Yeah.
But don't worry about the investment at this point. Let's worry about how this is going to
Investment bonding house. I talked to an investment bonding outfit in San Francisco, a bond outfit. And I kind of just I'm trying to just get a feel. I'm taking it really slow. I'm trying to get a feel for what I want to do. I mean, I'm 67. Maybe I got 15 good years left.
Hey, John.
Know? I mean, and that's it.
If you were my brother, I'd say, hey, congratulations. Let's buy short-term U.S. government bonds until you decide how you're gonna what you're gonna do with this thing. And then,
because that's just safe.
And I kind of disagree with Scott. I don't think
you can't put this much in CDs.
You can't put that much in CDs. But I kind of disagree with Scott. I don't think if you're not super charitably inclined to begin with, giving away a large portion of it would be very, very difficult for you. You can always give it away in the future.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. The tax opportunity is now.
Yes.
But the itemized deductions.
I've always struggled, you know, I mean, I've worked all my life, like I said.
Most people have, John.
So, I mean, I'm not trying to give away a bunch of money that, you know, I mean, I still value money. I mean, I was not raised in the Depression era, so my mother was. So, but, I mean, I'm still stingy, I guess is the word.
John, if you were in my office right now, I'd take the whole thing after taxes and I'd buy short-term U.S. government securities.
And that's just a place to park cash.
That's to park
that's
it.
All it is.
And then I'd start you on a monthly of allowance of probably...
Yeah, but I think bigger than that is figuring out, John...
You got to start him on something. I'd probably start him on a monthly allowance of $50,000 a month.
Wouldn't it just have a credit card and spend whatever you want to spend and see
what... Well, you don't want to do that. I mean, he's going to...
My advice... I would talk to other people who've come into massive wealth. If it were me, I don't know if you have a job right now. I'd say my job at this point, it's still early in 2017. I'm going to gather as much wisdom as I can about other people who've gone through a similar journey and what can I learn from them. And then I would orchestrate my life based upon that.
And I certainly wouldn't be shopping for investment advisors. I would just take it.
I wouldn't shop for investment advisors.
I'd buy short-term U.S. government securities. That's what I would do. I wouldn't mean they're going
to
be.
That's good advice.
Treasure
I mean,
bills.
Talking
Doesn't
to
matter.
Other people is something I had not thought of. Talking yeah. to other people is.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Of,
because
I kind of want to do that because. That, I'm
I mean,
lost,
it's just
really
this. Yeah, I get it. I get it. It's yeah. it's probably.
There's as much
thrilling and terrifying at the same time.
There's as much bad in this as there is blessing.
That's right. And last thing you want to do is end up 3 years down the road, and your marriage is in shambles, and you got a drug problem, and G5. I mean, maybe G5 is fine for you. I'm not. Yeah, maybe it is or not. I don't know. But I think it's really coming clear on what it is you want.
All righty.
Yeah, it is unclear.
All right.
Yeah.
So and Warren Buffett lives in a modest. Warren Buffett lives in a modest home in Omaha, Nebraska. So,
all right, John. Appreciate the call.
All right, John. We wish you well.
Thank you very, very much for the advice. You've given me some good advice.
All right,
thank
glad you
so
called,
much.
Hanson McLean. You know, Pat, what I failed to mention, I mentioned Warren Buffett lived in a modest house.
Yeah, well, one of them.
But one of them. I did just read he sold his Laguna Beach home, Laguna to Go home for like $18 million or something.
Yeah, one of them.
But
if you go
Gates,
to Omaha, Nebraska.
Bill Gates certainly doesn't live in a modest home.
No. No.
Have you ever bought a lottery ticket?
Yes, I have. Have you?
I think I did. I know I had, but I don't think I have since I was like 18 or 19.
Oh, I'll buy one.
They were banned for a while. They came back in. I forget how old I was when they.
I bought one in the last year, maybe. I'm in the store and getting gas, and I'll look up there, and if the number's big enough, I'll buy $5 worth.
You do?
Not every week, but if.
You do?
Yes. Yeah, that's my form of gambling. That's as far as you're going to see me gamble. But maybe I might spend. I don't know.
You've got to be kidding me.
$20.
This is a total shock to me.
Why?
Pat's the kind of guy. Pat will drive his Lexus into the Jiffy Lube and negotiate the price to get the oil changed.
I am known to be a little bit cheap. That is in fact the truth.
He buys retreaded tires.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. <That's right.
laughs> Not anymore.
It wasn't.
Not since that incident. But occasionally.
All right,
but the thing is that with this person, as with many things in life, if you're going to go retire, talk to people that have been retired for a while and ask them how it was or what they thought.
That's exactly right.
If you're looking to hire a financial advisor, ask your friends about their experience with financial advisors.
Let's talk about retirement here, because the first answer someone's going to give you is, the answer that they think they that you want to hear. Oh, retirement's great, right?
Yeah. Oh, I don't. I've got
like. Oh you so won the busy. Lottery. That must be awesome. Oh, yes, it's awesome. Because that's what there's. It's supposed to be, right? So something's wrong with you. But really, it's like if you're looking at retiring the next year or two. First of all, you should come to one of our workshops or meet with one of our advisors at Hanson McLean. I think that'd be a prudent thing to do. But aside from that, if you're going to be retiring soon, I'd find a couple of people in your life that you trust
and ask them
and say, can I buy a cup of coffee and just say, what did you learn through this? What's been challenging about it? What's been rewarding? If you were to do it again, what would you do differently?
You know,
Take some ownership. I think it'll really help you.
Scott, I'm not a great bicycle rider, but I do love to ride my bike. And I ride with a number of different people. I ride from someone that is my age to someone that is younger to people that are in their mid-70s. And the thing I love most about bicycle riding is the conversation that takes place when we're doing it. We get on these bike trails and we ride. And I don't know what it is about being outdoors. Or it's kind of like snow skiing. You have these great conversations with people that they get right into it, like into the meat of it. So talking to the 73-year-old about retirement, and he's telling me how hard it was for him to actually retire and why he went back to work part-time. Oh, that was great. Talked to another guy who wants to retire but is afraid to retire. Talked to another guy that's already retired, said he retired too soon. I just think it...
And some people love retirement.
That's why the advice to him is just buy 2-year treasuries with your money. Don't make it too complicated. Just maintain it. Don't make it to the lottery winner. But talk to people about their life, what happened. Because this is really as much of a blessing as it could be a curse.
Large sums of cash can be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether it's something like that or inheritance. I actually think a large inheritance is tougher.
Oh, there's
so many.
Because
of the family interactions you've got.
And memories attached to it interactions, especially if you come from a large family.
I remember years ago we had a call, Pat, for somebody. They had inherited a lakefront home in Lake Tahoe, multi-million-dollar home, and they had very modest income and assets, as their sibling did as well, and they were trying to figure out, they wanted to keep the home. But unfortunately, the family didn't leave them any other real assets to be able to
support the home?
Yeah, the property taxes and stuff. And it was just the type of thing. It's like, you understand I know you want this, but if this was removed and you took those assets and repositioned,
you'd probably be better off in the long term.
Yeah, probably. Are you kidding me? Anyway, let's take a call here. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number to join the program. 1-888-2-HANSON. We're talking with Jack in Penn Valley, California. Jack, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi. I have a question. I was collecting Social Security disability for a couple of years, and that's been changed over to just regular Social Security now.
Okay.
In that time, we've been making spousal contributions to my IRAs. Now that I'm 66 and getting regular Social Security, can the spousal contributions change, or can they continue? And if so, until how old?
Does your wife work?
She works, yes.
Yeah, then you can continue. As long as she's working and your combined family income is less, I think it's something like $180,000, somewhere there, adjusted gross income. As long as it's less than that, you can do a spousal continuation.
Yeah.
A spousal IRA.
But you can't put any more money into the IRA than actually she earns. That's the only other caveat.
Right. Okay.
So $6,500 for this year is for a spousal IRA.
Okay. And until what age?
Until forever. As long as it's earned income.
It's got to have earned income.
Okay. Yeah. The age doesn't drive it at all. It's the income.
Okay. Great.
All right.
All righty.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck, Jack.
Very
Thanks.
Good. Okay.
Thanks for calling Hanson McLean. And if you've got a question like Jack had, feel free to contact us. We take calls of a variety of different financial matters, whether it has to do with spousal IRAs or inheritance or family planning issues, investments, anything financial related. Our contact number to join us, 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. O-N, and we'd love to take your call. So, hey, we're going to take a break here in a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk about how do you turn a 401k into monthly income? 401k or other retirement plan for your employer. Because we're all saving it for our retirement plans.
For to live off of.
Yeah. So we're going to walk through the steps of how do you take that retirement plan that you've been saving, that's been growing for you, et cetera. How do you take that and you turn that into a monthly income? Like kind of like a pension.
This is one of the number one asked questions of our firm is how do I take my retirement plan and turn it into monthly income?
Yeah, so I can retire. So we're going to address that when we come back. So stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Advice without an agenda. It's back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
That's right. We're back. We might have some agenda. I might disagree with that introduction because we actually have a couple agendas. First of all, as radio, we need to deliver an audience.
That's an agenda.
So that's an agenda. And
the second agenda is to help you make good decisions, to do our best.
Yeah.
If you want to use our firm, we'd like that too.
But that's not the point of the program.
That isn't the point of the program.
We wouldn't have been on the air for 21 years if it was all just about us, because clearly it's not just about us. It's about helping you.
So before the break, Scott, you talked about turning your retirement income, 401k, into a monthly stream of income.
But we're going to take that. We're going to take a call first.
Oh, we are.
Because
okay.
Linda's been on hold for a while, and we want to take her call, and she's calling from Pennsylvania, which is awfully nice. So, Linda, welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Hi. Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. And you sound like you're from Pennsylvania. I guess that you weren't from the West Coast already in the 2 seconds you spoke.
I sound like a Pennsylvanian. Okay, I'm from Jersey originally.
There we go.
What can we do for you?
Okay, I have a question basically about, I'll lump it all together, Medicaid, nursing homes, sheltering your money. I saw my mom and dad have to do the spend down, and it was really horrible to see. And I was wondering, I mean, I'm in good health now. I'm a widow. I'm 69 years old. I have two older sons. And I still have the life insurance money that my husband left me. And I was wondering, is there anything out there, and I know this is asking a lot, but is there anything out there that would allow me to take interest every month and put it in my checking account and have the freedom to put money in and take it out when I need it and still have the shelter so that if, God forbid, something happens to me, I have to go into a nursing home, this money, is I could save it for my heirs. Is there anything that exists like that, or am I, you know?
Well, you could take your assets today and do an irrevocable transfer, which is what you need to do. You give up control of these dollars. And every state, by the way, has their own rules regarding these. So, and I'm not an expert in Pennsylvania law there. But so there's typically, there's some sort of look back. So the money, it's usually a three or five year look back.
But you're irrevocably giving those dollars away.
Yes.
Which means that you don't have access to them. You can't put, you can put money in, but you can't take it out.
Okay.
You could not access additional dollars. So what you could do, as an example, not that we'd necessarily recommend this. Let's say that you said, well, I want to keep $50,000 aside for me to, for emergencies or whatever. I'm going to take the rest. I'm going to put it in this irrevocable trust. And then I want that trust is going to pay me X dollars until I die.
Okay.
And then should something happen and you get Alzheimer's for the next decade, then those dollars, assuming it was done correctly, could be protected. The monthly income that was coming would certainly be used for it, but the assets were no longer yours. So, assuming that it was at least whatever the time period, 3 or 5 years.
So, Linda, let's find out if you're actually borrowing, as my grandfather from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania used to say, let's see if we're borrowing trouble. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Outside of your primary residence, what is the dollar amount outside your primary residence?
Okay, I have $250,000 in the bank. I have, and then I have just, life insurance for my children, you know, that I'm going to leave them. That's basically it.
Okay.
I own nothing.
You own a home, though.
Yes, I do. It's paid in full.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's at the level where...
It's a tough call. Because you're at a level where you probably need to buy long-term care insurance if you want to protect your assets.
Excuse me. I do. I forgot to tell you that. I do have that already.
How much
do
you have?
Only covers, boy, that's hard. I really, I'm embarrassed to say I don't know, but I got it after my husband passed away. He worked for the post office, and they offered this to me after he passed in 2000.
So that's...
And I took it out.
That's where you want to start.
It's only for 3 years. It's only for 3 years, you know.
A three-year benefit.
Yeah.
Well, so then I would look into this state. If your state has a three-year plan, if Pennsylvania's a three-year look-back, you could have, if there's some time in your life where suddenly you're going to require some sort of certain care, it's at that moment you could establish an irrevocable trust.
Yeah. You need you actually need to visit with an estate planning attorney in the state of Pennsylvania, not in the state of New Jersey.
An estate planning attorney, not as someone who sells, you don't want someone to sell you some annuity.
Yeah. That's what the fear is. They're going to sell you a big old fat commissioned annuity. But you want an estate planning attorney. So just Google or Bing estate planning attorney.
Bing.
Scott, Google has got unfair representation in the media, and I'm trying to correct it by myself. So just Bing.
Is that the same, is that the same like an elder care?
Correct.
Yes, but some of those, just make sure it's
they're not
they
trying
don't
to sell
product.
You product. They're not trying to sell you or trying to send you to someone to sell you an annuity. You have a question regarding the look
back.
Did
you want to pay a fee for someone's advice is what you want.
All righty?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Appreciate the call.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Thanks. And I might just add in full disclosure, I'm not a big fan
of this artificial impoverization in order to qualify for state benefits.
So,
but that she didn't ask us how we felt about it.
I understand that. So my job as a financial advisor is to help people navigate whether it's when they plan on Social Security, how to maximize benefits, if it's the pension.
But we're going to get some nasty phone calls because of it. Every time this comes up, we get nasty phone calls and emails.
Yeah, I believe if people have financial assets, then they should take care of themselves. If they have no assets, then we could ask other taxpayers to cook up the bill, pay the bill.
We could help them to ask them to help, yes.
Which is what, yes.
Yes. But so that leads into its whole other set of problems.
Yeah. So we talked at the bottom of the hour of how you got a 401k plan at work. How do you now take this 401k plan and turn it into a pension, essentially? How do we make a monthly income out of it? And it doesn't have to be that complicated. Sometimes financial advisors try to make it overcomplicated to maybe scare you into some doing something, but it's not that complicated. Most 401k plans will not allow for monthly income, particularly if it's deposited into your checking account each month. So what the vast majority of individuals do at retirement is they take their 401k and simply transfer that to an IRA.
Some, though, allow for quarterly distributions and semi-annual distributions. Some.
Yeah, they all allow for annual, of course. Yeah. And some allow, they're all different. Every 401k is different. With an IRA, I suppose they could all be different too, but most of them that I know of will allow for some monthly income, if not more frequently than that. And so you simply transfer the 401k to an IRA. If you do a direct transfer, there's no tax withholdings. Once it's in the IRA, you can invest it in a broadly diversified portfolio, which is what we typically recommend. Don't invest solely for income. You want to invest it for a long-term strategy. But you can set it up so that it has a systematic withdrawal each month. So as an example, let's say you have a 401k of $500,000 and you want to take some monthly income. And let's say you decide you're going to take out $24,000 a year, okay, out of this portfolio. You can set up so you have $2,000 each month transferred to your checking account. You can do it on the first of the month if you want, $2,000.
And you can have taxes withheld on that as well.
It's if you automatically wish. Deposited. You could have taxes withheld on it.
Both state and federal.
Just like a
paycheck.
Paycheck
without the FICA taxes.
Yeah, you don't have to pay the FICA tax, of course. And so it can actually be pretty simple. The main key is having enough money in the 401k to generate the income. Because it, what we found over the years is that sometimes people don't realize that that monthly income is in dependent upon and in direct correlation to the amount of savings they have in the account.
That sounds silly.
What?
That you have to say that. It sounds silly.
I'm just saying.
So what that means is that you need to take a reasonable distribution from your money if you want it to last until your dying day.
And if you go and say, oh, I need a new car, I want an extra 20 grand or 40 grand,
then
it's going to have a hard time supporting that monthly
income. That is correct. And it's going to have a hard time supporting that monthly income if you take out more money when it's doing well.
Yes, because the years that you have
if
excess
you have
returns.
A portfolio, if you have
not
a
that
portfolio
we've seen that.
That is a balanced portfolio, let's say 50% stocks and 50% bonds and cash and a couple other little things in there, the expected rate of return on that is going to, over a long period of time, you might do 5 or 6, maybe even 7%, but probably 5, 6, or 7% somewhere in there. Some years it's going to do phenomenal.
Yeah, 15 maybe.
Some years it's not going to do so much. So if you're
bad.
Yes. So when you spend the gain on the good years, there's nothing to protect you on the bad years. So that's why you start with a monthly distribution. You determine it and you keep it the same.
Yes. And if you think, well, you might increase it for inflation.
Maybe.
If you think that you also want to have some withdrawals periodically, then
you've
maybe you
factor
split it
that
up.
In.
Maybe you split it up.
You've got to factor that in.
Or you simply factor it in. Because the what we've seen over the years, been doing this a long time, we've seen people in the good periods, they think, oh, I have excess returns. I'm going to take extra money because my account made so much. But you really need those
you have no years. You've got no buffer against the lean or bad years.
Yeah. So we're going to go here at Hanson McLean's Money Matters. We're going to go to our real advice. During this segment of our program, we talked to a Hanson McLean advisor, a real life Hanson McLean advisor. And they'll share their story with that they have with meeting with an individual like yourself and the planning process they brought them through. And we've got Dave Cox on this week. And of course, the experience that Dave had with this client is not necessarily the experience that you would have with an advisor. So every situation is unique, etc. But Dave is a certified financial planner. He's also a certified fund specialist. He joined Hanson McLean 21 years ago, so a long time. He primarily meets with clients in our Folsom, California office. It's in it's Folsom Prison. It's it's Folsom. Just saying, a lot of people, it's what you know about Folsom. He's not, I don't think he's actually ever been in the prison.
I took a tour of the prison recently.
You did?
Yes. But we're not going to talk about that now because it has nothing
it
to do.
It is interesting,
it has nothing to do with having Dave Cox on.
Just to clarify, Dave, in Folsom, you have not actually been in prison, Folsom Prison. That's not why you live in Folsom, is it? You got released and just decided to stay in the town.
Been by it a few times, many times, but never been in there.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Well, there's lots of things wrong with it. Folsom's actually a beautiful little suburb of the Sacramento area. It's absolutely gorgeous. Some of the best bike trails and nature trails in Northern California. But, Dave, we're not here to talk about geography or incarceration. We're here to talk with you about a client situation that you are going to share with us and then recommendations you made and then how it helped the client.
Absolutely. So, and it's interesting too, you know, I mean, you guys were just spending some time talking about 401ks and whatnot, and this ties directly to some of the things that you had just mentioned. So I had a client, this was the latter part of last year, that was transitioning from work into retirement, and she wanted to retire basically now. And again, this was the fourth quarter of 2016. And, you know, she was worried about, you know, meeting her monthly income needs. And, she was 57 and a half.
Wow, that's young.
So what but you know, very well to do. Her and her husband, you know, had done well, and she actually was going to go off and they own like a somewhat like an apple farm or something that effect, and they were going to continue on and you know bringing in some partial income, but more of a kind of a hobby type of thing. But anyway,
so they had a plan for the retirement.
They did. I mean, you know, they weren't just going to stop. You know, I mean, there's some part-time income coming in, but mainly we needed to be able to support their income need, and their income need was pretty substantial. You know, $11,200 on a net income basis, on a monthly basis, is what they were looking for. And but so that was one thing that we had to address. But the other thing we had to address is the fact that she was 57 and a half. And he was already retired, and most of their money was tied up in her pension plan, her defined contribution plan, her TSA plan, and how do we get that money, how do we get access to that money prior to her 59 and a half. So,
and actually, you know, I remember, Dave, you've been with Hanson McLain a long time. If you remember back in the 1990s, it was so common for people coming to us under age 59 and a half with planning on retiring. I remember we had workshops on just how do you access money from your retirement accounts prior to 59 and a half.
So, and
things have changed.
And Dave mentioned a for the rest of the listeners, a TSA. That's advisor, financial advisor slang for a tax sheltered annuity, which would be provided as a 401k type vehicle or a retirement type vehicle, either for a school teacher or someone that works at a hospital primarily.
That would be correct.
So well, thank
she
you.
Had hey, we can move forward now.
There we go.
So she had about $1.1 million in her pension. She had another roughly $525,000 in a defined contribution plan, like a 401k plan. And in fact, in this plan, she had $125,000 of after-tax contributions into the plan. That's important. We'll come to that in a second.
And some people and have that in their 401k, have some after-tax contributions, primarily years ago.
Yeah, and as we all know, that can be a blessing in disguise here when you're going to, you know, do some of this planning. So, and so she had another $1.2 million in her TSA. So roughly, you know, somewhere in that 2.7 range thereabouts in total assets. She had a couple other miscellaneous things. Her husband, state of California retiree, and had about $4,300 a month coming in net income.
So they're fine.
They're fine. But the issue right now is, okay, so how do we generate the additional income they need between 57 and a half to 59 and a half? Because for our listeners, once you get to 59 and a half, now you can start withdrawing monies from monies that have never been taxed, those qualified accounts, those IRAs and 401ks. You can now access that money penalty-free after 59 and a half. So when we went to look at her plan, here's what we did. We sat here and said, okay, let's take your pension and roll that over into your IRA. Let's take your defined contribution plan, also roll that over to your IRA. But guess what? When we roll it over, we're going to kick out $125,000 of after-tax monies that you've already contributed to the plan, and those monies are going to come directly to you.
Without any taxes or penalties. She did have the option to put them into a Roth IRA at that point in time, which may or may not have been a good idea.
And we've done that in the past, but in this particular case, it didn't make sense because we needed to generate, again, distributions to her to make up this total of 11.2.
Got it.
And oh, by the way, as we were planning here, we looked at their house situation, and their house situation, you know, they owed $2,800 a month on the house. They weren't going to pay it off anytime soon. We looked at refinancing that house, and upon refinancing that house, we were able to knock $800 a month off of their net need.
Just because of a better interest rate?
Absolutely. So we went at more years, right? We went from roughly, I don't know, it was like 23 years back up to 30 years. They weren't going to pay off the loan anytime soon. So let's reamortize that loan and again, create cash flow for retirement.
Got it.
So we rolled over the pension. We rolled over the defined contribution plan. We sent her the 125. Now, the TSA plan kind of presented some, and I heard you guys talking about this just prior to coming onto the show, it presented some unique situations as far as what we could do with that TSA. So we could either roll over the entire TSA to her IRA or leave it there. Now, we chose to leave it there, $1.2 million, we chose to leave it there. And the reason why we chose that is because she's going to use that $125,000 of after-tax monies to live on for the next 20 months. And in 20 months, she's going to need additional income. and in needing additional income, as long as we left that money with the TSA plan, we all know there's a rule out there called separation from service. If I separate from service in the year in which I turn 55 or older, as long as I leave the money with the company, I can access it penalty-free. Now, the TSA plan would set up monthly distributions to her, but they wouldn't allow her to roll over a portion of her TSA.
Got it. Got it. So you actually looked at the existing plan she was in and said, eh, I wouldn't probably have used the one you used, but it's what you have, so we got to work with it.
Absolutely.
And you didn't want to set up a series of payments because they'd have to continue for 5 years, which would be 50, 62 and a half. So you're trying to keep it as flexible as possible until she's 59 and a half.
So that's exactly what we did. So we implemented the plan, and
you took some from the TSA beginning immediately, and it so that you're pulling it out at a lower marginal tax rate, or you did not?
We did not pull anything out of the TSA. We're pulling money directly from the proceeds that were sent from the after tax monies. So she already had $70,000 in savings.
Okay.
So we left that $70,000 alone. We added the $125,000. We didn't want to subject that to investment risk and volatility over that 20-month period. So she's just pulling that out of savings.
Well, it sounds a little complicated, but it worked.
Well, you
used a bunch of different techniques there. And for the average listener, they're listening and saying, what's he talking about? Well, that's what this client came in to us and said, hey, this is what my income, well, you probably helped determine their income needs. You said, this is what your income needs are, which is the first step of the 7 personal decision points, which you can read Scott's book if you want to find out more information.
It's a shameless plug.
It is your book. We're trying to sell this book. And then,
by the way, I can get a 75% off. Go to HansonMcLean.com/book. It's available on Amazon, Borders, Noble, Barnes. Are they still bookstores?
Yes, they do. So
yeah, they do.
What you did was use a variety of different techniques in order to get them, which is got to the final question, which was, how do I take this essentially four pots of money and create a retirement income flow off them that allows them to live comfortably? Nice work.
Yeah, and part of the 7 personal decision points as well is, you know, we ran the cash flow analysis for them to look through this current time frame and then beyond, making sure everything was going to play out accordingly. And then the last part of this is, you know, once she turns 59 and a half, now the TSA that's sitting over there will now finish up with that and roll that back over to her IRA. Now she'll continue to take distributions from her IRA at that point in time. Then we've also factored in Social Security for her down the road and make adjustments accordingly.
So, Dave,
it's worked out really well.
Tell us about the cash flow analysis, because that is what a big question is this retirement income needs and the cash flow analysis. And Scott talked to her about it. We talked about it earlier in the show about how do you take these lump sums of dollars and turn them into income? So when someone sits down in our office and we go through a cash flow analysis, or they were going to do it on their own, how would they do it? What would they look at?
Well, the very first thing that we have to get to is, what is that income need, right? What are we sitting here saying?
That's the number of questions. How much do I need for retirement?
That's the number. Yeah, that's a big question. How much money do I need to retire?
And some people will know the answer, some won't, right? But ultimately, we're going to help them get to that number, looking at their current expenses and saying, okay, look, net cash flow coming into the household, you know, I need $7,000 a month. After I've determined that I need that $7,000 a month, then the next part of getting to this cash flow analysis is, all right, what can we reduce? What can we get rid of debt? Can we re-amortize to say, hey,
using fancy words, re-amortize, what does that mean?
That means taking an existing loan that you're paying a certain dollar amount on, and if I can refinance that loan and lower the cost on a monthly basis, then I've freed up cash flow on a monthly basis
there
in
go.
Retirement.
You can either shorten the loan or lengthen the loan, but reamortization means to figure out a new way to pay the loan, which is an integral part of retirement planning.
So once you've gotten to that first number of here's my net need, you've subtracted out anything that you can reduce to get down to And sometimes you can't, but get down to a true net need. Now you've got that number identified. Now when you go into a cash flow analysis, now what you're sitting here looking at is to say, all right, now let me go and say, okay, here's my need of $7,000. Now where are my income sources coming from?
And that's what the cash flow analysis does for the client, correct? Tells you where, what pot of money they're coming from and where it's going to change in future years. So it might come from, in this situation, it's coming from their 401k, and then it's going to come from their TSA in latter years, correct? So you're actually showing where the flow of income comes from and what happens to the principal amount with a given rate of return assumption and distribution. Yeah. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Cool.
Perfect.
Well, thanks, Dave.
Thanks, as always. Thanks for being at Hanson McLean for over 21 years.
Looking
as always,
forward to the next 21 years.
Scott and I are an absolute pleasure to work with at all times.
Wait, did I say that or did you guys say that?
Oh, wait.
Thanks, Dave.
No, you were supposed to say that. I was afraid you weren't going to say it, though.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate that, Dave.
And we are. And we really are. Just an absolute pleasure. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. There is. I ask people all the time, are you happy here? No one's ever said they're unhappy. It works here.
I do recall years ago, though, I went to, for whatever reason, I thought, I want to make sure everyone's really fulfilled in their job. And so this was, we were small, Pat. We had like half a dozen employees. And we had a woman who was a receptionist. And so I remember we went to lunch with Marcia. And I said, I just want to make sure that this job's fulfilling, rewarding, and, you know. And like 3 days later, she gave a resignation letter. And she says, I really appreciate our lunch because it got me thinking about it. And I realized that I'm at a dead-end street.
As a receptionist. And that was the last time Scott Hansen went to work with someone, went to lunch with someone that worked at Hansen.
You know, she went and had a very successful career as a real estate agent after that. I think it was just
well for
her life. And it was just at the time, and we're a large organization now and have plenty of other career opportunities. We didn't quite so much then.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I brought up that story.
But it was a nice story. Thank you, Scott. So if you want to find out more about Hanson McLean, go to HansonMcLean.com, HansonMcLean.com. And once again, Scott's book is on that. You can get a 75% discount. Hanson McLean, visit us there.
HansonMcLean.com/book. And I always like it when I let Pat take us to the end of the show because he ends early and just looks at me.
So you always like to have the final word.
I have to have the final word. We're here every week and get our podcast. Go to Hanson McLean. You've been listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Enjoy the rest of your day.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence. We'll be right back.